I'm Liz Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is True Crime New England, Case Profiles Edition.
Hello, welcome back to another mini episode.
Today's mini episode is just slightly more special than usual. And of course, all of these cases we've covered on these mini episodes for our Case Profile series, all fascinating, all super important that we get out there. But today's is just a little different because our two cases are connected. And not the way you may think. It's very interesting, so definitely stick around. If you guys don't know what our case profiles are, basically what Katie and I do here is we cover cases of people of color in New England whose stories just do not get attention. This is largely because New England is predominantly white. We all know that people of color don't get as much media attention, and our goal here is to stop that problem and at least get some stories out there, solved, unsolved, however we can.
Yeah, so the way that we do this is we do kind of a two birds, one stone deal where Liz will pick a case, research it separately, and then tell not only you guys, but myself as well, and then vice versa. So we too are hearing these cases for the first time as well as you guys. So, you know, we don't know the details, we know the name, we know who each person is covering, but we don't know really any of the details. So any kind of exclamations, any kind of, wow, that's crazy, whoa, oh shit, no way, that's genuine.
Very real.
So we're kind of hearing it for the first time along with you guys.
Absolutely. So strap in, join us, because these stories never are not crazy. And with that, Katie, it is an odd number. I started last week, so today it is your honor to begin the episode.
Sure. So I'm going to be telling you, Liz, and you guys, our lovely listeners, about the murder of one of two brothers. We both found these two brothers who were murdered completely separate instances, which is just so crazy and awful.
Right.
So I'll be telling you guys about the murder of Harry Baez, who was the first brother unfortunately murdered. My sources today are Fox61.com, Legacy.com, NBCConnecticut.com, and Portal.ct.gov.
Wow, several sources today.
Yeah, although not really a wealth of information, but enough to still tell his story.
Right.
On May 10th, 2002, there was a huge fight going on Center Street of the North End in Hartford, Connecticut.
Hmm.
The North End of Hartford is notoriously not a super great area. It seems like going back pretty far, you know, early 2000s, 90s, 80s, it really just kind of hit or miss. There are areas that are really beautiful and there are areas that can be pretty unsafe.
Yeah.
So in certain areas, this kind of situation was unfortunately not that uncommon.
Mm.
This massive fight had been started between two people from two different groups.
Wow.
So there were two groups, they kind of ran into each other, and one person from one group went at another person from another group. And so, of course, everybody's like, I gotta defend my friends, I gotta defend my brothers, I gotta defend, you know, and it definitely seemed as though the two groups, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people, and, you know, they're kind of shouting from across the street, like, hey, we got to fight over here, we got to help so-and-so.
Yeah.
So it very quickly escalated to become a big brawl.
Mm.
It was estimated that there was about 50 people in total.
Wow, that's huge.
50 people.
Fighting.
Fighting in the street.
Yikes.
Like, that's...
That's scary.
That's bad.
Yeah.
25-year-old Harry Baez had jumped up to help a friend who was getting his ass just handed to him.
Mm.
This friend really was not doing well. It seemed like maybe there was more than one person kind of going at this friend.
Yeah.
So Harry jumped up to help him.
Wow.
Things were getting pretty violent, escalating pretty quickly. And before Harry was really on his feet, he really just jumped up and started going over there.
Yeah.
He hadn't started fighting. He hadn't made any contact with anybody. Someone rode by him on a bicycle and shot him a single time in the head.
I'm sorry? So somebody separately on a bicycle?
I think someone from
like
the other
group. Like a part of
group.
The group?
Yep.
Jesus.
Someone from the other group, I think, just kind of was riding around on this bicycle.
Wow.
So he must have seen movement. He must have seen Harry get up and start moving over to attack the, not even attack, just to defend his friend.
Right.
And rode up behind him on a bicycle, probably didn't even hear him in all the commotion.
Yeah.
Boom. Right to the head.
Wow. Like execution style.
Absolutely.
That's horrible. Wow.
Harry's brother Benjamin was shot as well, and while he was badly injured, he was able to give the police a description of the perpetrator.
Wow.
Police had been called at just before 9 a.m., and they found Harry, who was rushed to St. Francis Hospital, who we have mentioned so many times.
Yeah.
It seems like, well, it's a major hospital in Hartford.
Right.
But they seem to just get a lot of gunshot victims.
I was like, going to say.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
He was pronounced dead upon arrival.
Oh.
Despite Harry's brother Ben's description to police, the case quickly went cold. There were no leads, and we talk about this all the time where, you know, there's a big brawl, there's a big fight, there's multiple people, even just other people standing there as bystanders and watching something unfold. They do not come forward. They, you know, police talk to them. They're like, hey, it's all good. Like, I heard you were at this fight that the other night. Someone was murdered. You know, we're not going to make a big deal about you throwing a couple punches if you tell us.
Right.
What you saw. Yeah. Oh, I didn't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. That must have been my cousin.
Like, right, my twin brother.
Yeah.
Jim.
Yeah.
That's so...
So it's many
typical.
Times. It's typical, and it's so unfortunate. We talked about it last episode as well. There was a situation where, you know, someone was just shot on the street in front of a group of people.
Yeah.
And everyone just went about their business.
I can't even believe it. I can't.
It's appalling. Harry's case was cold until March of 2019.
Wow.
17 years later.
Holy shit.
On Friday, March 5th, 2019, 36-year-old James Rayner was served for the murder of Harry Baez while already in prison for an unrelated homicide in Hartford in 2009.
Really? Shit.
He had been sentenced to 37 years in prison for the unrelated homicide and got himself a whole lot more time added to that sentence already for Harry's murder. So he's never going to see the light of day outside of a prison cell.
And so you said, how old was this guy?
At the time of his charge for this, he was 36.
Oh, okay. I thought, like, he was 36 at the now, and then 17 years before was when, like, he would have been 19.
He would have been 19.
Jesus.
19. This 19-year-old kid rode up on the back of the bike and shot Harry in the back of the head.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Insane.
Yeah.
Police said that leads and... Finally, the cooperation from actually multiple witnesses led to a sworn affidavit charging James with murder, and his bond was set at $1,500,000.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yeah, so sometimes there is hope. I feel like a lot of times the case profiles we talk about, you know, we talk about maybe, you know, it's been X amount of years, maybe after all this time, people have been thinking about it, they're feeling a little guilty, their conscience is weighing on them, and it's been enough time where they feel as though they can safely come forward.
Right.
So I think this was the case where someone else other than Harry's brother finally came forward, multiple people finally came forward and said, hey, it was this guy, we saw him right up on at this time, da-da-da, shot him in the back, great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was finally solved after 17 years.
Wow, that's crazy.
Harry was born in Atlantic City, New Jersey on January 2nd, 1977. His dad was from Puerto Rico and his mom was from Hartford, so they eventually ended up down there in Hartford. Harry also had four brothers, Benjamin Jr., Angel, Jesus, and Jimmy, and eight sisters.
What?
Wanda, Mayara, Nancy, Grace, Sheila, Keila, Norma, and Marisol.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I honestly am very impressed that his murder was solved after 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
17 years! Especially because it genuinely seems like the fight between, you know, it was described in all of the articles that I saw, two groups.
Yeah.
Two groups.
Two groups.
Quote unquote. Groups. We know that maybe in other articles they would have been two gangs or two groups from gangs. It does seem like it was gang related from just my research. But it really is nice that the way that it was portrayed.
Yeah.
Because if you go outright, unfortunately, if you go outright and say, oh, it was gang related, of course it's not going to get attention.
People don't care.
People don't care. They say, oh, they were in a gang. They deserved it. And that's what happens. But no one deserves a hooligan. Like,
no.
Riding by on a bike so casually. Boom.
Yeah.
Gunshot to the head. Dead upon arrival at the hospital.
Terrible stuff.
So... Thank goodness that Benjamin was there and saw the perpetrator. Thank goodness multiple people came forward eventually. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that his family, you know, his four brothers, eight sisters, and his parents finally have answers for what happened, which is so, 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 so rare.
Right.
But yeah, that is the very unfortunate murder of Harry Baez.
That is crazy because, as we mentioned, these are, my story is a brother of Harry. Ironically, Benjamin, who I did not know, gave such valid information to the police. That breaks my heart knowing what happened to Benjamin.
Right. Right, because Benjamin saw his own brother murdered before him, and then Benjamin, as you will tell us, went on to, unfortunately, meet a similar demise.
Yes, absolutely. So, I will be telling everyone, including you, Katie, the story of Harry's brother, Benjamin, and his murder. My sources today, I had two articles from Fox 61, and I also had a case text article of an appeal.
Wow.
Which gave a decent amount of information, but it was more legal jargon that the layperson cannot really dissect. On June 11th of 2003, the Hartford, Connecticut police were called to none other than the St. Francis Hospital. We've just talked about it. Notorious. I mean, it is a big hospital, so I guess that's fair, but geez. And keep in mind, this is just a little over a year after Harry's murder.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The police had been told that there was a man coming in via private vehicle and that the initial reports were saying he had been shot. When the poor man being described had arrived, police discovered that the man was Benjamin Baez and he had been shot once directly in the chest at close range. Mm-hmm. Similar close range to his brother, mm-hmm. obviously different body parts, but...
And one time.
One time. Just one time. Mm-hmm. Shortly after arriving to the hospital, Benjamin did die from his injuries. In what seemed like a stroke of decent luck, police learned that there had been multiple witnesses at the crime scene. Multiple, like capital multiple. Witnesses say that Benjamin had been sitting in a car that was parked on Main Street when suddenly a man approached the vehicle with a gun. An argument broke out, a gunshot rang out, and that was that. While there were plenty of witnesses, surprise! Getting their cooperation was very difficult for the police. You know, obviously because of the risk, like maybe if they are in a, quote, gang, yes, we know that there can be real serious consequences within the, quote, gang that can lead to other people's murders and torture and things like that. So it's, you know, great that there's all these witnesses, but it doesn't do anything if there's no information coming from them.
Right.
Which, again, you have to kind of empathize a little bit because I'm sure it's very scary. Very right. terrifying.
And so many people are going to have different reasons. Like, maybe they have their own criminal record. Maybe they themselves have outstanding warrants. Maybe they just have a general mistrust for the police. Big surprise. Who can blame them?
Right.
Maybe they are immigrants. Maybe they might not be in the country legally.
Right.
You know, for whatever reason, it just always seems like there's a reason.
Yeah.
That someone doesn't come forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, the people who did witness the event gave some decent information, but when it was, quote, time to put their names to their statements, the witnesses would back out, which of course would cause the case to stall.
Wow.
And, you know, we see this in the true crime world. You see this a lot with people who are, like, survivors of domestic abuse or, like, survived a serial killer, and they can't face them, understandably, in court because that's the person who hurt them. That's right. Terrifying. So, I can get that a little bit, but it still just sucks because it takes away from the victim. It wasn't until 2015, so 12 years later, that police finally had enough evidence in order to convict someone. The fucked up part, though, is that besides the murder, obviously, was that this whole time, investigators, like, knew who had killed Benjamin, but because of no, like, lack of, like, signed off witness statements and concrete evidence, they couldn't convict him. So they really had a good idea the whole time. 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Finally, the night that ended in the murder of Benjamin was pieced together. On June 11th, 2003, like I said earlier, Benjamin was hanging out with a close friend, a man named Enrique Lugo, and together the pair was smoking PCP. Which,
oh dear God.
Yes, is not. For those of you who don't know, like, PCP is, like, hard drugs.
PCP is fucking
hard drug.
Oh my God.
So they were smoking PCP and they ran out. And because they wanted to continue, they were like, let's go get more. Okay, I guess. Sure. So a little before midnight, the pair got in Lugo's car and they drove to Main Street in Hartford, where they planned on buying more PCP. It wasn't long before 41-year-old Rafael Ortiz arrived. He walked up to the car. Both men knew Ortiz. In fact, Benjamin Lugo and Ortiz were all friends, and they had known each other for a very long time. An argument broke out. Later, a man who knew the two in the car and also Ortiz, his name was Wilbur Irizarry. He was a witness. He was nearby. He was hanging out. I think he was also smoking PCP with a woman who also knew all the characters. And they were just kind of hanging out. And according to Irizarry, he'd noticed Ortiz, thought it was kind of weird that all these people that he knew were selling drugs at that specific location. He did say that he knew that they had sold drugs. That was like something they did, but he'd never seen him do it there. So he was like, this is weird. He knew Benjamin to have done some drug dealing. Like, he knew that all of them were a part of, you know, whatever. And that's not the point here, you know. Irizarry could see that Benjamin and Ortiz were arguing, although he couldn't really tell about what. So Irizarry, he started to walk towards Benjamin and Lugo and Ortiz. And he heard Benjamin say, can you give me some work? With a response from Ortiz claiming that he wasn't going to give him any. That was him asking, like, if he could have any drugs to sell, essentially. This prompted a kind of unsettling response from Benjamin, where he told Ortiz that he was just going to rob him anyways.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, which, you know, was definitely not the right thing to say, unfortunately, because that immediately provoked Ortiz. He walked away, went to his car that was parked a little way down the road, grabbed something out of the passenger front seat, walked back. And this is where Irizarry said he watched Ortiz walk back to the car, stand right at the window, raise his arm, and just fire one shot 2 to 3 feet away from Benjamin in the car. Yes. Awful. Very sad. Ortiz then got into his car and sped off. It wasn't until 2019 that he was actually brought before a grand jury, and he was indeed found guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to 50 years in prison. So I think it's pretty crazy that, A, two brothers were murdered a year apart from this huge family, but also the fact that after several years, their murders were solved. It's crazy, and I'm really glad that their family was able to get closure on both cases, but they shouldn't have to have buried their sons.
And I get it, you know, like, oh, I'm going to rob you anyway. Yes, that's a threat. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, that would provoke somebody. Should it provoke someone to go to your car, get a gun, and shoot your supposed friend in the chest? What?
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't.
And PCP sucks too, because of course it makes someone more quick to anger.
Yes.
More irrational.
Yes.
More impulsive. So the PCP in both of their systems sure as shit did not help anything.
No.
But that's not what you do.
No. And of course, like you said, your inhibitions are definitely whack when you're on drugs, but, you know, like, the fact that it just, I can't. And PCP is such a strong, hard drug.
That's hardcore.
I want to say it's like a party drug. Like, one of the ones you use to, like, get lit, which is what they were doing. So, it's so awful, and I feel for their family, because that's just terrible. And, you know, they were immigrants, and obviously, like, it probably was a tough life. There was 12-ish kids. That's weird. Especially immigrating to America.
Right.
With all those children, or, like, raising them when you're an immigrant, you're already off to a disadvantage. Terrible. It's just awful. So that is the murder of Benjamin Baez, and unfortunately, the murder of his brother as well. Terrible stuff. Guys, we want to know what you think about these stories. Please send us an email, truecrimeany@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts, our Instagram, truecrimeany. We always want to hear what you guys think about these cases, but we also are always interested in your recommendations for cases to cover.
do not hesitate to reach out to us, whether it's through our email, our Instagram, our website, truecrimeany.com. We have a handy-dandy submission tool. You do have the option to be anonymous if you so choose, especially if you're listening to these and you're thinking, well, I have a case that I'd like to submit, but maybe it's a little closer to home. Maybe I don't want to be known as having suggested this case, especially if it's still unsolved.
Right.
So you can be anonymous. We will take literally any kind of case with any amount of information. We do have a way of researching and going about this that we are able to do even a mini episode. Mm-hmm. But if you're really looking at it and you're thinking, well, I don't know, it's really just one source or one paragraph, send it to us anyway. Worst case scenario, we put it on the Instagram, we put it on the website, so we're still getting them out there in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. We will do anything to get these stories told, even the ones that are solved. And with that, we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
Goodbye.